One of the customs of the noble ones is to delight in abandoning and to delight in developing. This refers specifically to right effort, abandoning unskillful qualities, developing skillful ones in their place. This is what we're doing as we're on the path. And it actually applies to all the factors of the path. We're developing right view, developing right resolve, with right speech and right action, right livelihood. We're abandoning unskillful forms of speech, action, livelihood. With right mindfulness and right concentration, we're developing what's called the concentration aggregate of the path. All of these things are a kind of fabrication. The Buddha once made a distinction, saying the highest dharma in terms of fabricated or unfabricated, taking both sides into consideration, is dispassion. When the mind finally has a sense of disenchantment, it's had enough of a particular type of activity, enough of fabrication, so it lets it go. Whatever form that fabrication may be. However, the highest fabricated dharma is the path. It's important to keep this in mind as we're working on concentration. We're being mindful, alert, ardent, in trying to stay with one object, directing our thoughts to the object, evaluating it, as we're doing with the breath right now. We keep reminding ourselves to stay with the breath. That's mindfulness. We're holding the perception of breath in mind. And then we evaluate the breath to see how comfortable it is, how it feels in the different parts of the body, whether it's the kind of breathing that mind can find easy to stay with, and adjusting it to make it just right. And then trying to learn how to apply that perception of breath to the whole body. So that when you notice your arm, you're noticing it as an aspect of breath energy. When you notice your head, notice the nose, any part in the body, the back. Think of it as breath. Because you're trying to enlarge the mind and give it a single preoccupation. Applying this single perception of breath to the body as a whole. So that wherever there's a sense of pleasure or fullness, you try to maximize it and allow it to spread. So it too fills the body as a whole. Buddha compares this to being a bathman, which in those days was a person who would, instead of using soap, would take a powder, mix it with water to make a dough, which you would then rub over your body. And the bathman would have to knead the water through the dough in the same way that you would knead water into a dough when you're making bread, to make sure that the whole ball of dough was moist and saturated, and yet it wouldn't drip. In other words, the water is worked through just right. And in the same way, as you're settling in, you're trying to take this ease and rapture and work it through the body. So the mind will have a really comfortable place to stay, a place where it can stay solidly, without any sense of hunger, any sense of lack. All of this is something you do. The mindfulness is something you do. The concentration is something you do. And as you work through the deeper stages of concentration, again, it's an action. It's a fabrication. You've got verbal fabrication, in the first jhana. You drop that, but you still have bodily fabrication, you still have mental fabrication. There's the in and out breathing, and then this feeling of perception. The perception is that perception of breath that holds everything together. Until you reach the fourth jhana, where there's just mental fabrication, the feeling perception, the in and out breathing has stopped. It's just a feeling of equanimity, what the Buddha calls purity of equanimity and mindfulness. This too is something you do. There's an element of intention here to keep this going. We tend to forget this. Sometimes we hear that equanimity is this non-fabricated state, or mindfulness is a non-fabricated state. But that's not true. It's simply it's lacking verbal fabrication, but it's got other fabrication going on as well, particularly the perception. You need the perception in order to be mindful, in order to keep the breath in mind, keep the body in mind, keep your concentration in mind. Keep in mind the fact that you're trying to delight in abandoning and to delight in developing. It's very light, delicate in the background, but it's there. And it's important that we realize this, that the path has to be fabricated. And even the more subtle types of fabrication on the path do count as fabrication. The sense of the observer watching all this, that's a fabrication. Because before you can really let go of fabrication, you have to learn how to do it in very subtle ways, so you can catch the subtleties of fabrication. Otherwise, you let go of a blatant fabrication and think, well, that's it. Work is done. But it's not. Simple equanimity and simple mindfulness are not going to do all the charm. Discernment has to come in as well. And some of the discernment is developed simply in getting the mind to settle down and to reach very subtle states of concentration, so you can see things more clearly, as you clear away grosser levels of fabrication. As the grosser ones are gone, then you've got the more subtle ones. And with time, you learn how to sense those as well, to see that they too have their ups and downs, and they have to be maintained. Anything that has to be maintained is a fabrication. It's in seeing this and learning to ask these questions and notice these things. This is the role that fabrication plays in taking you beyond fabrication. This is something we're working on. It's delicate work, refined work, very pleasant work. But it requires that you be very mindful and very quick in noticing the movements of the mind. Upasika Ghi has a nice comment. She says that whenever there's an insight that comes into the mind, you have to watch to see what arises next and what arises next and next. Because often as soon as an insight comes in, another defilement comes in, takes it over. And if you don't catch that, if you don't catch that, you're missing a lot. That closes off the path to something deeper and more profound. So it's not just a matter of sitting here being passive and receptive and non-reactive. We have a cultural bias here in the West. It goes back to the Romantics. Had the belief that you went out into nature and made yourself totally receptive, open, spacious, non-reactive, non-judging, non-verbal. As one thinker said, he went out into nature and allowed himself to become a giant eyeball, transparent in all directions. soaking up a sense of interconnectedness. That idea is stuck in our society. So when Buddhism comes to the West, we read the different definitions of mindfulness, and the most spacious and receptive one is the one that seems to strike a chord. And we think that's it. If someone says a moment of mindfulness is a moment of awakening and leaves everything right there, well, it's a fabrication. And there are plenty of passages in the canon where the Buddha does not describe mindfulness as being just open and receptive or non-reactive. He says when you see that there are unskillful qualities in the mind, you have to get rid of them with the same sense of urgency and, he says, relentlessness and mindfulness, focus, that you'd have when putting out a fire on your head. And he compares mindfulness to walking between a crowd on one side and the beauty queen dancing and singing on the other side, carrying a bowl of oil on your head, and there's a man walking behind you with a sword raised. Wherever you drop even a drop of oil, it's going to cut off your head. And so as the Buddha said, you would not allow yourself to be distracted in either way, either to the crowd or to the beauty queen. You have to be focused very intently on that bowl of oil. That, the Buddha said, is a symbol for mindfulness, in this case, mindfulness of the body. So there's a lot in the canon to show that mindfulness is not an open, receptive mind state. Or not necessarily. Sometimes you are mindful to be open and receptive, and other times you're mindful to be very focused and doing your best to delight in abandoning and to delight in developing. So we have to be careful not to let our cultural biases get in the way. So we can really see what the Buddha was talking about, so we can take the best advantage of what he has to say. And really stay with the path, understand the path. So we can become more and more sensitive to these subtle layers of fabrication of the mind. Learning how to fabricate skillfully until we get to the point where the skill takes us beyond fabrication, because that's where freedom is found. And that's how freedom is found. This is what the Buddha calls it's the path. It takes you someplace. It doesn't cause the goal, but it takes you to the goal. And it's up to us to do the activity that gets there.